smiling faces and some frowning. No, I'm joking. Hallelujah. If you will, please turn over to John 15. We'll start about verse 1. Amen. John 15, about verse 1. Will you pull it up in the Amplified, please? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We'll go down to about verse 8. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, is what? Cut off, trims off, takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to what? To make it bear more and richer and more what? Excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you. The teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will what?
Dwell in you.
Live in me, and I will what?
Live in you.
Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you what?
Abide in me.
Man. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do what?
Nothing.
That's very important. Amen. So this word, I did this and I did that, lets you know that you didn't do anything. Because apart from God, you can do nothing, but with God. So the ability that God's placed on the inside of you, because of that ability, you're able to do what you're doing.
Amen.
Amen. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are what? If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. And my words, what? I would make sure I understood that those few words right there. And my words remain in you. And my words remain in you.
Amen.
And my words remain in you. Amen?
Amen.
And continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to allow the Word of God to abide in us, right?
Amen.
Are we constantly talking the problem, situation, or whatever aggravates us or whatever gets us mad, mm-hmm. instead of the answer? Because whenever you talk about something, what does it do in your life? Whenever you constantly talk about something, what does it do? Yes, yes, Mike, you magnify it. But it also gets bigger, like you're saying. You're making that the biggest thing in your life,
yes.
when you constantly speak it.
So
if I'm going through something, and all I do every time I see somebody is, man, golly, you just don't even know what's going on right now. It's just so hard. You know, I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Well, what's the biggest thing in your life?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
You might as well say amen, smile, poke your neighbor, say, we'll get through it. Amen. then that's the biggest thing in your life. Because that's the only thing that you really want to talk about. But where's the answer at? In the Word. So why don't we get the Word and put that on our lips? Amen. Instead of what's going on. Because sometimes, I'll just tell you, you know, I'm going to look up here so y'all don't mean mug me. No, I'm joking. A lot of times it's easier to talk about the situation, the problem, what's aggravating me, what's making me mad, than getting into a Word and having to do a study on my own and find the answer.
Yes. Amen.
That went over how I figured it'd go over. Amen. Yeah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to pray and get in the Word. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. And I thank you, Father God, not my will, but your will be done this morning. Not what I want to say, but everything that you would have, not only for this congregation, but also for me. I thank you, Father God, my tongue will be. It will be. It will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths from your Word this morning, helping each and every one of us, giving us answers for not only the situations or things we're going through right now, but things that are to come. Because we understand, Father God, that Satan wants to kill us. He wants us to be defeated in every area of our life. And we understand that. And so we know that every day he's going to try to throw up roadblocks, try to throw up situations, try to throw up things to either get us to step aside or to back up from the Word of God. But we understand. We understand to stand. Whenever we've done all to stand, we stand. We will not be moved. We'll be unmovable. Because of the Word of God, not because of anything we can do, not because of our power or our might, but the one that's backing us, the one that gave us his name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for it this morning. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So obviously we're talking about abiding again this morning. Amen. That text that you sent me the other day, I forgot to ask you. You think she'd mind if I read that? I won't say names. I'm just going to read this to y'all. Well, this woman, I shouldn't even say a woman. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to read it so bad. I really do. It's good. yeah, text her real fast. See if I can. Amen. We'll go to a couple of scriptures real fast. Turn over to James, please. It's a great place to go. Huh? James 1. You can pull it up in King James first, please. Let's start about verse 2. Amen. My brethren, complain and gripe to everybody that you see because of the hard times that you're going through. Steve, y'all can sit over here. My brother, complain to your wife or your spouse because we understand it is hard and the things you're going through, we've never seen nothing like that before. Amen. My brother, count it what?
All joy.
What are you counting all joy?
Everything, yes.
Whenever... When you fall into what? Amen. Verse 3, knowing this, So how are you going to know something? Knowing something means that you understand it and you already understand what the outcome is.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
So obviously, if you're abiding in the Word, you're knowing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because see, whenever you abide in the world, you are knowing that the stock market's doing this, but you know it's going to be like 2008 and everything's going to fall out. I don't want to buy nothing. Well, now you're knowing the world's way. Now you're moved by what the world does and says about everything.
Amen.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what? Yep, next. But let patience have her what? That you may be what?
Perfect and entire. Wanting nothing.
Wanting what?
Nothing.
Hmm. Wanting what?
Nothing.
So you're telling me that all of your wants are taken care of then?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Wanting nothing. Passion, please. Will you pull it up in the Passion? 1-4 again. If you're not abiding in His Word, then are you able to count it all joy?
No, sir.
The world may be saying, the world made a saying, and, some Christians or believers have adopted that saying into their vocabulary, and they brought it into the church. And that saying is, it is what it is. Because that's the world way of saying, well, that tragedy happened, it is what it is. Amen. You might as well smile. Amen. Because it is what it is. It's just saying, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will what? But I thought the Word of God, she said, okay. I thought the Word of God said that whatever you proclaim and whatever you're believing will be. Not whatever the world or situations come up will be. Because if I'm running off, it will be, whatever I just said a second ago. Or it is what it is. Then I'm believing more in the ability of Satan and him stopping everything that's trying to come, that's coming against me and putting up roadblocks, because every time I hit a roadblock, well, it is what it is. Not even realizing Satan's trying to stop me from something, but I'll instead of going right to the Word, I just step back over into the world. Well, it is what it is.
Yes, sir.
See, you got to separate yourself.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to somebody, and me and Pastor Chelsea listened to it, and it extremely blessed me. This individual was talking about an oak tree. Have y'all ever seen an oak tree?
Yes, sir.
No? You need to get out of Arizona one time in your life. Anybody ever seen the redwoods up in Northern California and Oregon? If you haven't, Google it.
Yeah.
Not right now. Google redwoods and look how big they are. They got one that you can drive a car through.
Yes.
They're huge. But he is talking about, you know, you can get one of those seeds and plant it in a 2-foot planter by about, you know, 6 feet, 2 feet deep. He said, but that oak tree or that redwood tree will never grow to its potential.
Amen.
But yet that seed is an oak tree.
Yes. Yes, sir. Amen.
That seed's an oak tree, but it will never grow past that 2 feet.
Yes, sir.
Because of its environment.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because of his environment.
So
now all of the potential of an oak tree that's in that seed, he will never be able to see it. Because he's allowing his environment to tell him how big he can get, what he's able to produce. What does your environment look like?
Yes, sir.
Am I always around people that's talking sickness and disease? Lack and not having enough? I don't know what we're going to do. Hopefully, someday we'll get through it. Well, then look at your environment. If things are going on like that, look at your environment. See what's going on.
Amen.
Because the Word of God that's planted on the inside of you, you understand what that environment looks like. See, people have forgot how to dream, how to imagine, how to look at things that are huge. Why? Why stop looking at things that are huge? Because how are we going to feel? Because I thought the Word of God said that God, Jesus is up in heaven and there are many what?
Mansions.
There's many what?
Mansions.
So if I can't handle a mansion here, how am I going to handle it there? Well, God doesn't want me to have any of this old world's goods. First off, who said that?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to know.
Yeah.
And if you found scripture for it, we need to discuss it. And we need to look at it. And then we need to find out what's really going on. But I need to know where that statement originally came from. Because if I'm just running around picking up sayings from everybody and I have no idea where they came from. Hallelujah. Did you pull that up in the Passion? My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but what? See it.
Amen.
You need to write that down.
Yeah.
See it. See it. Some of us see it as, oh God, here we go again. See it as a what? An invaluable opportunity?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Huh. So they're saying, God's letting me know that this is an opportunity that I'm going through this. To experience. Hallelujah. So now I'm counting it joyful. Joyous. I'm seeing it as an invaluable opportunity. To experience though. To experience. The greatest joy that I can. That's why some people still haven't learned how to laugh.
Yes,
I was listening to a minister. He said, you know, my denomination didn't believe in that kind of stuff. He said, so I'd go outside the barn. Out back behind the barn. Well, y'all know who it is. It's Brother Hagin, obviously, right? He'd go out behind the barn because he was Baptist whenever he first got into the ministry. He said, I'd go out behind the barn. He said, and I'd just start praising God and laughing. He said, you know how I did that? He said, because I found it in the scripture to count it all joy whenever I'm going through tests and trials. And so he said, I'd get out behind the barn. He said, I'd start praising God. I'd start worshiping God. He said, and then I'd just start laughing. He said, and then all the things that seemed to be so big in my life just became minute. Counted it all joy. He said, and trust me, I didn't feel like laughing. And a lot of times you won't. Especially, it's like whenever you're going, or you hurt yourself, or, you know, you're doing a... You're hammering a nail and all of a sudden you just hit your finger real hard. You want to laugh right then?
No,
or do you want to throw that hammer through all the walls?
Yeah.
or at the closest person. Like it's their fault. Side note, when I was building houses in Colorado, we'd just pull back that safety on the nail gun, and when they wasn't paying attention, it moving along. It's fun. I wasn't mad. I was laughing the whole time. Oh, man. He said, but he'd just get down there. He said, and then the joy would just overwhelm him. And he'd forget about everything that he's going through. It's amazing what joy does in your life. Because once you start laughing, do you remember all the troubles that you're going through? Or are you focused on, I got to breathe or I'm going to pass out?
Amen.
See, joy is from God. And he gave joy to us so that we're able to experience life and go through life joyfully.
Yes.
Not sad, depressed, not knowing what's going to happen, but joyful. And he's gave it to us, right? So then, since it's already gave to me, what do I have to do?
Exercise
myself in that. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know, it's not a secret. It's not. Why? Because we just read it. So we know that when our faith is what?
Tested.
What does it do? It stirs up the power within you to endure all things. But if you face that situation and go, it is what it is. I don't know what I'm going to do. You really think that power is stirred up in you then? You just quenched every power and ability that God placed in you to get through that test and trial by just complaining and going, I don't know what we're going to do now. But if you count it all joy, the power on the inside of you, that ability to get through that test and trial just gets bigger on the inside. Amen. And so now you're able to laugh about every single thing.
Amen.
I know some people, like there's one guy at work, I kind of call him Possum. Why? Because you could be yelling at him and he's like, nothing phases that guy. Nothing. I don't think I've ever seen him mad one day. One day. It's hilarious. I love it. I was like, that's exactly how Christians got to be. Satan can be up in your face telling you you're about to die, and you're just like, well, what makes you laugh like that? Well, first off, the Word of God does. Because, number one, I know he's a liar, and he's the father of lies. So if Satan is the father of lies, then anything that he's telling me is a what?
A lie. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. For you know that your faith is tested. When your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure what? All things. And then, as your endurance, what? It will release. It will release what? Until there is what? So that should let me know if I'm missing something or lacking something, then that endurance has not grown stronger in me, and so it's not able to release in my life yet. So then I need to make a slight change or a change and start answering situations better. Amen. Do you want to read it? Yeah, I got the microphone there somewhere. I'll let you read it.
Amen.
so I can get some water. Holy cow.
All right, so a lot of you might know that Judy and her husband, he had a lung transplant, or was it two lung transplants? It was both lungs. Yeah. That's what I thought, too, but I didn't want to say that. So he's been recovering. Glory to God. He's doing amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Glory to
God.
So this was the other day. This was yesterday. Yesterday, I was overwhelmed by how much I will have to do for Bob when he leaves the hospital. I'm essentially replacing his nurses, three therapists, a cafeteria cook, and a super stringent house cleaner. This morning, my devotion was about the 12 spies that went into Canaan.
Did you pay attention to that, though? How Satan had her thinking about, well, now you're going to have to replace all these people. Look how hard this is going to be on your life. Or you really think you could do that?
That's good. This morning, my devotional was about the 12 spies that went into Canaan. I very clearly heard God say, don't let Satan tell you you are a grasshopper. You have my strength and I have prepared you. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. See, when the words are abiding in you, that's what will rise up on the inside of you. But if you're always answering it with the world's way, then the world's the thing that's going to come up first.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Turn over to Job 5:22, please. You can pull that up. Do we have the CEV? We do? Awesome. Will you pull it up in that, please? Job 5:22. You will what? And famine.
Amen.
Oh, y'all better do this. You know, there's another variance coming around. First off, never mind. You will laugh at the threat.
Amen.
At the threat.
Yes. Amen.
Because that is all it is. Satan cannot put anything on you. He does not have the power to do that.
Amen.
That's why one of his greatest weapons is the weapon of suggestion.
Amen.
There will be like a pain or something, then we'll be like, oh, man, I might have hurt that. Well, now he just suggested something to me, and now I'm speaking it, giving him place.
Yes, sir.
Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Ain't got time to teach that. You're just going to have to go home and study it.
Yes.
You will laugh at the threat. At the threat of destruction and famine. And you won't be afraid of wild animals.
Amen.
What makes us laugh at the threat of destruction and famine? The Word of God.
Amen.
Say the Word of God.
The Word of God.
Amen. You're right. It is the Word of God. We don't have time to read it, but look it up in the message. Read down to about 26 or so. You'll enjoy it. You will not be able to worry whenever you abide in the Word, because you know no matter the situation, the Word of God has final say so in your life. Amen. Let's look at Philippians real fast, 4. We'll pull it up in the Passion first, please. Philippians Philippians 4, 6. Don't be what? Oh, man. Don't be what?
Pulled.
Don't be pulled. Don't be pulled in different directions or what? Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude, telling me every detail of your life. Amen. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers what? Known to you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Pull it up in the Amplified Classic, please. Do not fret or have what?
Any anxiety
about anything. About what?
Anything.
So what am I supposed to worry about?
Nothing.
Amen. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. I said nothing. Man, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer, petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Amen. But do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Amen. Worry, obviously, we know comes from the outside, not from on the inside of us. Because God is not worried, correct?
Amen.
Amen. Whenever you abide in the Word of God will always be first place in our life and in our mouth.
Amen.
Not worry. We don't know what's going to happen. I can't believe this is going on. No, the Word of God. Right? Every single time. Let's look at Luke 10 real fast, please. 38. Do we have the regular Amplified? No? I'll read it to you. I got it on my iPad. The regular Amplified, it says, Luke 10:38. It says, Now, while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Right? This is, y'all remember this story?
Yes.
All right. Verse 39, it says, She had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted. Amen. With all of her serving responsibilities, and she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me and do her part. But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried. Amen.
Amen.
You are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things. Not just the thing that was going on right there. But now everything's coming to the top. You are worried about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, that And then in parentheses, that which is to her what?
Advantage.
I looked up advantaged. And it, I believe it is the Webster, it says something making someone more likely to succeed.
Amen.
A greater opportunity or a favorable outcome.
Amen.
So Mary's chosen that which is to her advantage, which will not be taken away from her. Amen. I looked that up in the Passion. You can pull up the Passion, please. And Jesus and his disciples continue on their journey. They came to a village. Holy cow, I thought I dropped my iPad. We're all right. And we're back. Continue on their journey, came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master. Mary sat down attentively before the master. Mary sat down attentively before the master. What does attentively mean? All your focus is here. You're not allowing your mind to run rampant thinking about, man, I'm hungry. What are we going to eat? What restaurant you want to go to after church? This is what I got to do when I get home. I can't believe the kids have not done any laundry yet. Now we're going to have to start all the laundry when we get home. Not going to get to take a nap. You know how minds work, right? Because whenever you're supposed to be paying attention, that's when they want to wander.
Yes, sir.
Right? And just like, yep, amen. Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing.
Yes.
Absorbing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated, not to be confused with sarsaparilla. By finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guest. So she interrupted Jesus and said, Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and to help me. The Lord answered, Martha, my beloved Martha, ignorant. Why? No, I'll put that in there. I'll just play. Why are you upset and troubled? What does it say?
Pulled away.
Pulled away by what? Are they really that important? Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted. And that's the thing. We've allowed everything else to take up all of our time.
Yes.
Because we've become the yes people.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You might as well say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You need to learn to say no. I just did it yesterday, and it felt amazing.
Yeah.
I did. Somebody wanted to meet with me, and me and Chelsea, our day off is Monday. But we've been having meetings from Saturday, wedding Saturday, meeting Saturday, then we got church Sunday, and then Monday we got meetings throughout the day.
Yeah.
And so finally I said, babe, we got to have a day off.
Yeah.
We got to relax. And they was like, can we meet? No, that's my day off.
Yep.
Not doing nothing.
Yep. Amen.
You got to learn to say no.
Yes, sir.
And stop allowing everything to distract us and pull us away from everything.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because once I start saying yes to everything, how much time do I have in the Word now?
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, I want to help somebody, and that's good. But they need to help themselves sometimes too. I can't be the only one doing all of it. You can't either.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
And so we gotta stop allowing things to distract us, to pull our attention away from what God's asked us to do or called us to do.
Yeah.
You can't tell me, you know, it's like somebody coming up, you know, God called me to do this, and barely see them, don't show up on time because they're so tired the next come Sunday morning. Amen. Thank you. I agree. Amen. Because that was a thing that we had to get past too. We had to start we started setting our alarm clock for 6 o'clock Sunday mornings, about 6:30-ish, because they need to be here early to practice. You know how bad and how mad I was about that? Because I was working 6 days a week at the gold mine, waking up at 4:30, 4:45 every morning, 10 to 12-hour days every day, and my day off, you want me to wake up at 6:30 in the morning?
Amen. Amen.
What's that? Your mama. No, I'm joking. Good call. Should have laughed. Didn't laugh. No, didn't laugh at all about that. But I had to get past it and realize that the kingdom business, if God has actually called me to do what he's called me to do, then why am I allowing everything to wear me down so much to where I'm unable to do anything that God's asked me to do?
Amen. Amen.
To where I've now made my day is filled with, I have to do this, 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 and this. Kingdom business, I'll give about 5 minutes all I got right before bedtime, because at 5 o'clock next morning I gotta wake up and start this, 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 and this.
Amen.
You might as well say amen. Did I know I was going this way? No. But thank God for the Holy Ghost helping us.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Trying to figure out how to say that without anybody getting mad. Amen. It's like, I'll just say it this way. It's like somebody coming up, me and Pastor Chelsea, saying, hey, I would love to be in charge of this department. All right, right on. Well, this is kind of what we expect. You know, if you're going to do that, you know, put some posts on Facebook or whatever, Instagram, whatever. Do some things, you know, try to do it, you know, not once a month, maybe every 3 months, or do it every whatever month or once a year, whatever it is. And, you know, make sure, since you are in that kind of position, we'd like you here early on Sunday mornings to pray, you know, with us. You know, because if we're here, we'd expect people that's wanting to help us to be here, be as hungry as we are. That's, she don't understand my work schedule. You don't understand my work schedule. Amen. Yep. And then you know, it starts off real good. They're pumped. They're like, ooh, yeah, we getting it. But as the months go on, we start becoming lax. And first things that come first, the kingdom of God, become of, I can hit my snooze a few more times. Do I really need to be there at that early? Amen. I thought it'd go that good. Amen. But look, you know, if we're going to do something, if we say we're going to do something, and I'm not a man or a woman of my word, then how is God going to trust everything that I say? How am I going to believe what I say? Because if I'm supposed to speak things to come, how am I even going to believe what I'm speaking if I continually speak things and never follow through?
Yes.
Look, I just want y'all to know, I'm not jumping on anybody.
Amen.
None of y'all are in my mind right now. I need to let y'all know that.
Yes.
You're not. We ask God to help us. We ask the Holy Ghost to bring forth things that will help us, and that's exactly what's going on.
Amen.
It's helping us, right? We got to stop being the yes people or the so busy people to where the kingdom business becomes of, you know, it's all right this Sunday. I can't tell you how many times I would love to hit snooze on Sunday mornings. They'll figure it out, babe. We're fine. Let's go back to sleep. Amen. Turn over to Isaiah 28, please. Isaiah 28:16. You can pull it up in the classic first, please. Amplified classic. Are we still happy? Nobody's mad? Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. God, there you go. Laugh. Can't believe he's talking about me. Laugh. It's fine. I ain't thinking about none of y'all. Amen. I pulled up the wrong one. Classic. I guess you already got it up, don't you? Yeah. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation of stone. A what?
Tested stone.
Tested stone. A tested stone. Amen. A precious cornerstone of sure what?
Foundation.
Foundation. Of sure foundation. Right?
Yes.
Amen. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give way or hasten away in sudden what?
Amen.
Amen. We're just reading that verse. Do you have the good news? If not, I can pull it up. Thank you, Doodle. Oh, you don't? The good news, I'll read it to y'all. It says that this now is what the sovereign Lord says. I am placing in Zion a foundation that is firm and strong. In it, I am putting a solid cornerstone on which are written the words, faith that is firm is also patient.
Amen.
Faith that is firm is also patient. I don't remember what. I'll tell you real fast. I looked up firm, obviously, because I like looking up words. And I looked it up. I believe it's the Noah Webster or the Webster, one of the two. Firm is fixed, steady, constant, stable, unshaken, not easily moved, solid, not giving way, securely or solidly fixed in place, not weak or uncertain, not subject to change or revision. Amen. Firm in your faith. Amen. And I forget what translation it was, but one of them says, he that believes shall not make haste. Amen. I like how it says that. Because at the end of the Amplified, the classic one, it says, you know, trust and relies on and adheres to the stone will not be ashamed or give way or hasten away in what?
Sudden panic.
See, because once you're firm, once you abide in the word, you're not worried about things. And things that pop up do not cause a sudden panic in your life. They don't. They're not just everything just goes to just haywire all of a sudden because of a situation or a problem that popped up. Why? Because I'm abiding in the word and it's abiding in me. In me. In me. So now whenever a situation comes up, I'm good. I'm firm. I'm steady. I'm unmovable. I'm unshaken. I'm not going to move. I know there's a situation there, but I know that that God's gave me the ability to laugh through it and also to speak to it. And he that believes will not make haste. Amen. Amen. Will not make haste. You'll be a little patient.
Amen.
I remember there was this guy a long time ago. He was wanting to buy a truck and stuff, and so just went to a car dealership that day, was looking at a truck, and just went over on the side and was like, "God, can I have this truck?" You know, just real fast. And, you know, so whenever you're in faith, you won't make haste. You won't try to just put it on something fast all of a sudden right now. You will not make haste. Faith is patient.
Yes,
faith also knows when to move.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
That's what, you know, I actually printed out a truck that I was going to buy. I was going to go to the Ford dealership, but just the inward witness, just something on the inside of me, I even called them. And was going to go tell them exactly what I wanted. I was going to build it out myself. I had it all. I was still hanging on the fridge at the house. It's like 3 or 4 papers. Everything that I wanted on the truck. But I just couldn't get down there to do it. Just something on the inside of me was like, just wait. Just wait. Be patient. And I was. And I got a truck that had 7,000 miles on it for $39,000. And it's better than the one that I was going to buy.
Amen.
Because the one I was going to buy was a 250. This one's a 3500.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And it'll just jerk the slack out of anything.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Do we read the Passion yet in that one? Will you pull that up in the Passion, please? What was it? Isaiah 28. I got it. Isaiah 28:16. Let me pull it up real fast. Isaiah 28:16, in the Passion it says, "Here's what the Lord God says. Behold, I set in place in Zion a foundation stone, fully tested and proven to be faithful and secure. And written upon this precious cornerstone is this: those who trust in him will not act in haste."
Amen.
Amen. Those who trust in him will not act in haste.
Amen.
Amen. I really love that. Amen. Yep. Is it all right if we go to another scripture real fast?
Yes.
All right, good. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Go to the Passion first, please. You already got it up. Yeah, you beat me. All right. "For it says in Scripture, look, I lay a cornerstone in Zion, a chosen and priceless stone. And whoever believes in him will certainly not be what?
Disappointed."
Amen.
Amen.
You know why people are disappointed? So why are people disappointed? Because they don't believe in God, right? Amen. And whoever believes in him will certainly what? Not be disappointed. Amen. Pull that up in Amplified, please. I know I keep asking you. Do we have the regular one? Regular? No. All right, I'll pull it up. regular Amplified 2:6, it says, "For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I am lying in Zion, a cornerstone, a precious, honored cornerstone. And he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trust in, and relies on him will never be disappointed." Hallelujah. Will never be disappointed. And then it's got in parentheses at the end, "in his expectations." Amen. What's an expectation? It's hope, right?
Yes.
Hope is earnest expectation, correct?
Yes.
Amen, I agree. So whoever adheres to, trust in, and relies on him will never be disappointed in his expectations.
Amen.
In his hope. Amen. Disappointed, I actually looked it up in the regular Webster. It said, sad or displeased because someone or something has failed to fulfill one's hopes or expectations. Amen. The Noah Webster 1828, it says, defeated of expectation, hope, desire, or design. And then it says, frustrated. So you ever wonder why some people are always frustrated? I don't know why my prayers aren't being heard and answered. I don't know why this ain't happening. I thought my faith worked. I don't know what's going on.
Amen.
Amen. So raise your hand if you're okay this morning. All right. At least half of y'all are. Amen. We'll pray for the other half later. Amen. People that are not abiding in the word of God get frustrated easily. Because they're not sure if God is able to get them through this one.
Amen.
Right? They believe that this is it, or there's no way out, over, or through it.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why people get frustrated really easily.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because they're not abiding in the word. Because whenever you're abiding in the word, no matter the situation, you're like, glory be to God.
Yeah.
We're coming through this on the other side.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We're coming through this on the other side. Have any of y'all ever read Psalms?
Yes. Yes, sir.
If you haven't, I'd if I was you, I'd probably read it. You know, because to be honest with you, you talk about somebody abiding.
Yes. Amen.
Because he constantly told God how big he was.
Yes.
And why he would make it through this.
Amen.
And why he's going to get to the other side of this. And why he's his favorite.
Amen.
You ought to, you should just go through Psalms, seriously.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And just read it. Hallelujah. Things in there will just help you.
Amen.
Just one more, and then I'll stop, I promise. Psalms 119 real fast, please. And then I'll stop, I promise. Maybe. No, I'm joking. I will stop. Psalms 119, pull it up in the Passion, please. Do we have the Living? Just pull it up in the Passion. I'll pull it up in the Living. Go to 89. Do you have the Living, Brother Clint? You do? Will you pull it up, please? So I ain't got to try to go there and find it. 89. We'll go down through about verse 112. All right. It says, standing firm. Well, actually, hang on. Let me read this one. You got it? All right. Let me find it real fast. Psalms 119, I'm going to read 105 to you real fast in the Living. Okay? Thank you. It says, your words are a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling.
Amen.
If that don't make you happy, I don't know what does, man. Hallelujah. Because regardless of how dark the world is, people want to just magnify how dark it's getting. Magnify God. Yeah. Magnify His Word. Why I constantly talk about Satan and what he's doing? Who cares? We know he's here to try to kill us, but he can't. Let's talk about what God's doing for us. Amen. But His Word is a flashlight to my path to keep me from stumbling. His Word is. That way I won't ever fall. I won't ever, stumble to the side or get confused or mistaken, because the Word is a flashlight to my path, so I won't stumble. Amen. You ever tried to walk through the woods without a flashlight at night? It's interesting. Amen. We was on a patrol over in Iraq, and we was walking through these weeds that is about, the weeds probably about 4 feet high. Seriously, I don't know why we decided to walk through the field, but we did. And it's at nighttime, old dark 30, right? And we're going along, and I had on a pair of nods, night vision. Anybody ever tried to walk with those on? No? Amazing. Which, it's not that hard once you get used to it. But things that, like, whenever you first wear them, though, like if Chelsea, whenever I look through it the first time, it looks like Chelsea is standing right here. And so you're like this, trying to grab them, right? The first time I put them on, there was a hole in front of me. It's about 6 feet over there, and I was doing this. In basic training, it was funny. But you get used to walking in them. And so it doesn't just show everything perfectly, right? And plus, it's 4 feet of weeds. We're just rolling along, and everybody says, all we hear is you go, ow! Because I'm in a hole that's a ditch 6 feet deep. On my head, my legs are just hanging out. I'm like, pull me out. Where are you at? In the ditch. Y'all don't see my legs kicking? Watch for the leaf, the brush wiggling back and forth. Do something. Sorry, look, I said I'd read this. My bad. We digressed. How we got on that story? Oh, dark. That's why. Amen. Flashlight. Will you pull that up in the Passion, please, verse 89? We'll start there. Standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity is the word of what?
God.
Go back. Standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity. To eternity? So if we don't know the word now, what do you think we're going to get taught when we get to heaven? Is the word of God. Next. Your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Flows from one generation to the next. All that you created sits firmly in place to testify you.
Amen.
By your decree, everything stands at attention. Hallelujah. For all that you have made serves you.
Amen.
Because your words are my deepest what?
Delight.
His deepest. That means he's not asking anybody else's their opinion or what they think or what the stock market's doing or what the economy's doing. He said, God, what you say is the deepest thing, the most important thing to me. What you say will be based on how I move.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because your words are my deepest delight, I don't give up when what? I don't give up when what? And that's why people start quitting.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Because the word's not abiding in them.
Right.
They don't know what the word is. And so whenever a crazy situation comes up, they're like, God, you do not have the ability to get me through this. I'm going to have to go another way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next, please. I can never forget the profound revelations you've taught me. For they have kept me alive more than once. Hallelujah. I know they have me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. His words have kept me alive, trust me. We was on a patrol one night, and y'all ever seen Christmas lights? I've told y'all the story before. The Christmas lights that are twisted. So in Iraq, they'd take off the light and peel the wire, peel the plastic off the wire on the other side and put two pieces of metal where that light was. That way you make a connection, right? And at the end would be a big old bomb. And we're walking down the road, just strolling through. I'm in front, and we're patrolling, and I got to where I wouldn't ever look down because the enemy's not at my feet. The enemy is here. So I wouldn't watch where I was going. I'd pay attention, glance every now and again, but with nods on, you know, you're more focused on gunfights at that point. And so I'm rolling along, and then everybody's yelling, and I'm like, what? What? And so I turn around and walk back, and they're like, what? Ricky. I'm like, what? Well, they said Edwards, obviously. What? You just walked over that bomb twice. Hallelujah. Stepped right over it. Not on it. Right over it. And all it took was the two pieces of metal to touch, and it had blowed all of us up. Amen. But his word has kept me. Hallelujah. That's why I praise and magnify God every day of my life. Hallelujah. I can never forget the profound revelations you've taught me, for they've kept me alive more than once. Lord, I'm all yours. All yours. And you are my Savior. I've sought to live my life pleasing you, not man. Even though evil men wait in ambush to kill me, I will set my heart before you to understand more of your ways. I've learned that there is nothing perfect in this imperfect world except what? So why would I pick up vocabulary words from the world instead of the word?
Amen.
For they bring such fantastic freedom into what?
My life.
You want freedom in your life? Learn what the word of God says.
Amen.
Oh, how I love and treasure the revelation of your word. Throughout the day, I don't get too busy or occupied with everything else, but I fill my heart with its light.
Amen.
By considering your commands, I have an edge over my what? For I take seriously everything you say. You have given me more understanding than those who teach me, for I observe your eye-opening revelation. You have graced me with more insight than the old. Because I have not failed to walk in the light of your ways. I refused to bend my morals when temptation was before me. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but man, glory be to God forevermore. Morals when the temptation was before me. So that I could become obedient to what? I refuse to turn away from difficult what? I refuse to shy away from, play like they I didn't hear it, play like they don't exist.
Amen.
From difficult what?
Truth.
Why do you think he did that? Because the God that was on the inside of him was way bigger than any difficult truth that was ever told him or that stood before him. For you yourselves, y'all know, moving along, we ain't got time to talk about that. For you yourselves have taught me to love what? How sweet are your living promises to me? Sweeter than honey is your revelation light.
Amen.
For your truth is the source. For your truth is the source. For your truth is the source. For your truth is the source of my understanding. Not the falsehoods of those who don't know you, which I despise. Truth's shining light guides me. Truth's, what's the truth? The Word of God. Shining light guides me in my choices and what? So then there should never be a decision or a choice that we make that'll be a wrong answer. Or that we'll be going down a wrong road. Amen. The revelation of your word makes my pathway what?
Clear.
To live my life by your righteous rules has been my holy and lifelong commitment. I'm bruised and broken, overwhelmed by it all. Breathe life into me again by your living word. Lord, receive my grateful thanks and teach me more of how to what?
Please you.
Even though my life hangs in the balance, I'll keep what? What you've taught me, no matter what.
Amen.
The ungodly have done their best to throw me off track, but I'll not deviate from what you've told me to do. Everything you speak to me is like your joyous treasure, filling my life with what?
Gladness.
I have determined in my heart to obey whatever you say, fully and forever.
Amen.
Yeah, we better stop. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What, you got something? Okay.
Glory to God. Can we just stand to our feet? How many times through this message that the Holy Spirit brought to us today did we just want to shout hallelujah? So we're going to do that for a second. Father God, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord, that we can laugh. That we can laugh through difficulties. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we abide in your word, that we pay attention to your word. Hallelujah. When you walk in the room, Jesus, you have our full attention. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Woo, we will laugh at difficulties. We will let faith have its perfect work. And patience and glory to God. Hallelujah. As everybody's standing right now, I don't know about you, but something's been, if I can say it like this, kind of aggravating me for a long time. The church, and maybe it's different ways of kind of how we've been doing this and traditions and different things that kind of flow down. I'm really done with giving an altar call that says, bow your heads, close your eyes. I am done. I really, really am, because we are not living in that day any longer of let's make everybody feel comfortable, okay? I'm really not. And this was on my heart this morning of there is a time, and we are getting to that time, and we will occupy till Jesus comes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But there is a time, and we live in this day and in this hour, that we have to have a backbone, that we have to actually raise our hand and say, yes, I need Jesus in my life. And that's what we need to do. And know what I just want to say to maybe someone that looks like a really long aisle or that's really scary coming up to the front asking Jesus in my life. Guess what? Jesus stood up for you. Jesus had to walk down that line with the cross and take your place from going to hell. Amen. Glory to God. So as everybody's eyes are open, hallelujah, and we are standing at attention in the presence of the Lord, if you need Jesus Christ in your life, and if you have not made that decision, it is now. Today is the day of salvation. Do not let Jesus walk past you. You need to say, that is me right now. If you have not said those words, if you have not declared Jesus as Lord, then you need to do that right now. If there's anybody in this room, then you need to come down here and make your way down here.